Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Well, happy Tuesday. Oh, first day of spring today. Bye.
Is it really?
Birds are singing outside.
I think they're calling for snow flurries where I'm at, so it doesn't really feel like spring.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Let's get it out of the way now because 2 weeks to Easter and boom, we're here. So you don't want to have snow for the Easter egg hunt.
That's true. But it's happened. It's happened in the past. As a matter of fact, one of the worst snowstorms I remember, at least in the Northeast, was back, I think, in 1993 in April. Big snowstorm. We didn't have inches of snow. We had feet of snow, but that was another time. Hopefully that won't happen this year. You know, things are starting to bloom. It's been a great winter. I don't know where you are, Bill, but it's been a warm winter. And, you know, like I said, my lawn is starting to grow, and I'm thinking about putting my lawn cutting attachment onto my tractor and taking off the snow plow. You know, which will be a mistake.
You talked about that before. I don't know. If the grass is growing, you know, and, you know, things are starting to spring up, I thought maybe I'd take my hat off and go sit in the yard chair out in the sun.
Well, you know, spring has sprung, the grass is riz. I wonder where the flowers is.
Oh, jeez. Okay, he's starting to rhyme. Let's get this show going here.
Hey, you know, an interesting thing happened yesterday, and I'm
there's a lot of things that happened.
Well, Trump is unable to secure the bond for $454 million in New York. Now, people say, well, why not? He's a billionaire. Isn't he? He's always saying, no, you don't understand, folks. First of all, what is, in my mind, unconstitutional is that in order for him to appeal the case, he's got to put the penalty into the kitty, meaning, if the judgment was for $454 million, he's got to pay the judgment. It won't be cash, but he's got to have the money set aside, $454 million, before he can appeal the case. So he's between a rock and a hard spot. But
it's got to be cash. Yeah, so they're trying to force him to liquidate something.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He can't get the bond. He can't get the secure bond because a lot of the security companies, the insurance companies, it takes longer for them to process a deal this big, $454 million. I mean, they hardly ever see deals this big. You know, $454 million. Things like that can make or break businesses. And as a matter of fact, that's what Letitia James is trying to do with Donald Trump. Don't think for one second they're not trying to crush him financially right now. You know,
well, she's going after a lot of big businesses, you know, in and out of New York to do business there. So if you actually own a business that does business in New York, and let's say you're doing quite well, I don't care if you're on the Democratic side or the Republican side, you got cash, they want it. And she is the bulldog of the left going after your money. She wants your money.
Everything about this case stinks. Stinks. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fixed case. It was a done deal before President Trump set foot into the courtroom, and it's so un-American, yet it's continuing. And you know, the fact that Letitia went down to Washington and talked with the administration about the case smells big time. Big time.
But you know, the funny thing is, in the prosecution of Joe, they seem to be doing the song and dance, and you know, you're not finding any evidence. They're doing a little shell game, and they're doing a good job of hiding things. And our news, which is really, you know, the MSNBCs.
Yeah.
They're existent, but they're state media. And when people go, well, you know, the news seems to be kind of one-sided here. Well, let's focus on Russia and the Russian election and state media there. No, let's focus on you. Russia's media has nothing to do with me. You.
Yeah.
CBS, NBC, ABC, and whatever CNN, whatever else crapola news source you are, you have something to do that affects me. And you better get it right because sooner or later, you know, you guys are going to
kicked out of here. Yesterday we were talking about that comment about bloodbath that President. Well, let me refresh the situation. The media jumped all over President Trump with this clip here.
Right.
If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
That's the clip that they all aired. That's it, right? Here's what he said.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine.
You know, you see what he was talking about. He was talking about cars, yeah. Right? He was talking about the auto industry. And the media wanted you to believe, because you weren't paying attention, that he was talking about if he's not elected, there's going to be a bloodbath. Period.
Well, they're being coached, too, by the Department of Justice. And here's a here's a lesson. This is a lesson in perception and linguistics. They took that speech. And they said, oh, we can take this clip because it's nice and clean, and we'll play that and put it out there. Said, well, he said this, he said this, he said this. Okay, I'm going to go listen for myself. No, actually, I didn't hear it. Oh, there it is, because they are getting you to focus on what they want you to focus on, not the whole.
Well, it's kind of backfiring, though, Bill. People are going out.
They're getting smarter.
They're double-checking. They're not believing, directly what the media is saying, and it's irritating some in the media. For example, yesterday, Joe Scarborough, who does the Morning Joe show on MSNBC, which is if it had wings, it would be a turkey, all right? This show
all you got to do is light the baggies in on it's fire a waste and ring of, the doorbell.
It's a waste of good coffee. Anyway, Scarborough said this.
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, yeah, well, presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bullshit. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bullshit. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
First of all, let me start off by saying, Joe, no. The first thing you got wrong is you are stupid, all right? You, sir, are one of the dumbest men I've ever met in media. No, I haven't met you. I've ever heard in media. I worked in media. Bill's worked in media. We're not kids who don't have a background in this business. You, sir, are a numbskull, all right? First of all, we heard the clip. We know what he was talking about. We know the context of what he was saying. And
he's trying to spin the context.
Yeah, but no matter what you say about bloodbath, Mr. Scarborough, you, sir, besides being stupid, are
a propagandist.
You're a liar. You, sir, are a liar, okay? And you can talk all you want with Mika on your right-hand side like you have the authority, but you,
does
sir,
does she ever say or do anything, or is she just...
Well, she says, she makes comments, but, this numbskull, this guy is, he tried to make a career for himself after Congress at Fox, and he tried to sell himself as being your conservative. I'll never forget this. He used to have a show on the weekend, and we would watch it occasionally because he tried to sell himself as being a staunch, firm conservative. But what he is an opportunist. So when he went over to MSNBC, they held satchel fulls of cash. I mean, garbage bags filled with cash and said, Joe, if you say what we want you to say, all that's in this garbage bag, sir, can be yours. All this cash can be yours. And, you know, because he's a man with no principle, a man with no dignity, he grabbed those garbage bags and he would say anything the left wanted him to say without shame. He's a liar, and he's a
You know, politicians can be bought and they're on the take. And when their career is done, do they not make good propagandists?
Well, you know, that's true. As a matter of fact, this guy, Ken Buck, Bill, just resigned. You know, the guy who said he was going to resign at the end of his term, this rhino. And then it occurred to him, you know, if I can really screw these guys in Congress if I resign like next week. And so out of nowhere, he abruptly resigned. I think he's left office already. But he's a swine. And like a lot of these guys in Congress, you know, man of the people, I'm here to represent you. Horse crap. He's here to represent him.
He's going to be out doing interviews in no time if he hasn't already.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's got either an offer or he's in the running for a job at CNN.
Oh, good place for him, you know.
Yeah. So that's that. But it's interesting, you know. Anyway, getting back to the first thing
Comedy
we were talking
News
about.
Network, yeah.
Trump, $454 million. Now, they got him in between a rock and a hard spot. Now, people may say, well, I thought he was with billions. Yes, he is. Assets. He has properties all over the world. Assets. But what they want him to do right now is liquidate for pennies on the dollar his multi-million dollar properties. Like, he has 40 Wall Street, which is probably worth $500 million. But in order for him to get to liquidate and get the cash, and he needs cash. You know, he can't say, I'll put my building up for equity. No, they want cash. Can you believe this? They want dollars. They want greenbacks in their hand, you know? And this is the thing that's driving him nuts. He's looking, I mean, I'm good for this. And by the way, the security companies that won't give them the cash right now, it's because a lot of them are political too, and they don't want to piss anybody off in New York, you know?
Well, let's dig a little deeper. And that is a simple fact that banks and those companies, they don't have the cash. So they go, well, if we're going to do this, we got to go to the bank, who then has the cash. No, they don't have the cash. Now, the old Federal Reserve thing is, you know, they keep 10% of their assets in the Federal Reserve. But, you know, during COVID, they did away with that. You know, and this is another crisis that's out there in a whole different story. But you got the bank or the Federal Reserve that doesn't need any guarantees from the bank. Why do you think they're going belly up? And they got no money. They got no assets at the Federal Reserve.
Wow. Bill, you led right into something which I got when you're done. Well, I'm going to play for you.
I'll keep it short. But the simple fact is, you know, this affects everything. There is not the liquid cash out there, and they knew this to do exactly what they're asking. They're asking an impossibility, and it's an impossibility that they created.
But you were talking about cash being out there and money problems. So let me tell you something. I found this on PBD, I think, podcast. This is one of my favorite experts, Douglas McGregor. He's a military expert, but he's an observer of government, too. And they were talking about our government in general and the elections. Bill, you talk about money. Listen to what he says about our finances. Right. Listen to this.
I don't think we'll ever get to the 2024 election. I think things are going to implode in Washington before then. I think our economic financial condition is fragile. It's going to come home to roost in ugly ways. I will tell you, I don't know exactly how it will happen. I think we're going to end up in a situation where we find out the banks are closed for 2 or 3 weeks and nobody can get into them.
You think so?
I think we're going to run into something like that, yeah. I also think that the levels of violence and criminality in our cities is so high that it's going to spill over into other places in society. People that normally think they can live remote from the problem are now beginning to be touched by the problem. Then I look at this thing in Ukraine. I think Ukraine is going to lose catastrophically. It's going to be a complete collapse. And that, too, is going to have an effect here at home because people are going to say, well, wait a minute. Everybody told us Ukraine was winning. Everybody told us X, Y, and Z. I mean, sort of the Russian hoax on steroids. All of those things are going to come together or converge in some way that's going to prevent us from reaching, you know, the status quo. Oh, another election. Oh, another set of campaigns and so forth.
Douglas McGregor, did you hear that? He said, this is a guy, Bill, who we like. We have him on our show as much as we can, you know, his audio clips. And by the way, I apologize for the little hum in the background, but
not a big deal.
What he was saying is so true. He doesn't think we're going to make it to the 2024 elections. He thinks that in 2 or 3 weeks, maybe we may have a bank crisis. We may not be able to get to our cash.
Do you remember me? I think I talked to you about a week ago.
Yes.
Now, I don't have all the notes in front of me. So
let's go. I do remember. That's why I brought it.
Let's go back to what I said. Let's just take a look at if you're a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, by the way, if you're renting right now, the landlords may get out of the rental business and they're sucking up all the property. You see, the reason they're going to get out is Joe's new tax plan is calling for more capital gains, and those savings that are passed down to you, you know, it's very complicated how the budget works.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, nobody's getting a tax break. I don't care if you make poverty level, you're going to pay more tax. It's just the simple fact. But keep that in mind, that you're not going to be able to rent. Interest rates are high where you're not going to be able to buy. But you know what? Hey, you know, I can get a bank loan, you know, and they're insured. So if that bank closes, another bank sucks it up. Well, let's go back to what happened with the banking industry. They don't keep that liquid cash there, but they're required to keep 10% of, you know, their whole nest egg in the Federal Reserve. But that was lifted, and now most banks have nothing in the Federal Reserve, so there's no cash there. The Federal Reserve is guaranteed by the federal government. We're $37 trillion in debt. So let's just look at your house that you're paying for. Your bank goes belly up, goes to the bank. We're belly up,
too.
If
If you have like $100,000 in the bank,
mm-hmm.
you may never be able to get to it.
Yeah, or you may not be able to get to the paper that your house is secured on, because it goes back to the Federal Reserve, the government, who is broke to begin with, and they just say, you know what?
He talked about the Ukraine. Remember, Bill, all those
scary, I know.
The $60 billion here, the $100 billion there that we gave the Ukraine, that was real money with the idea that they were going to win the war? And now he said it's not going to happen. You know, Russia's going to come in. It's going to be a surprise victory, right, to everybody except people who really understand what was going on. And
I'll say this. I didn't do the most pristine, thought-out explanation of everything. I don't even think they have the time to go through that. But just look at it this way. Knowing that there is nothing there to secure anything out there, this administration, they try to blame it on Trump, but this administration, going back to even before to Obama and even Bush, they have bet your soul, they have bet your life savings, and they have lost the bet. And sooner or later, you know,
they say
you're going to have to pay up.
You know what the administration says about the cause of inflation? Listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
And I also want to remind you what caused inflation. We know that inflation was caused by supply chains that broke down because of the pandemic, Russia's war on Ukraine. We know that caused oil prices to skyrocket. Our economy was disrupted by so many ways because of the pandemic. That's what caused inflation. And so because the president took action very early on in his presidency to make sure that Americans got vaccinations and to make sure that we fix and strengthen the supply chain. He took historic actions on oil so that gas prices could go down. And so we have an unprecedented economic recovery here that is important to note. But I do want to be really, really clear. We have seen inflation go down by 2/3.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a lie.
Oh, this lady can lie. You know, the inflation was caused by Ukraine war, which they got us involved with, okay?
Yeah, that's a cover-up for their other bad. What else did she say was caused by?
Well, let me just hit the beginning of that again. Yeah. Okay?
And also want to remind you what caused inflation. We know that inflation was caused by supply chains
that broke down
because of the pandemic, yeah. Russia's war on Ukraine. We know that caused oil prices to skyrocket.
Oil prices skyrocketed because of the Ukraine war.
Because of the
pandemic. Because we shut down our damn wells. We shut down our production. You know, the supply chain. We did have a lot of warehouses that just mysteriously blew themselves off the map by themselves.
That's true.
You know, over 100.
But they don't talk about that, Bill. No.
No.
The media. Our media says, no. Shh. Don't bring that up.
When Snoops does a fact check on the warehouse thing, there's nothing that says that the left was behind all of that. Yeah, there were some that, hit some demise, but.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about it. Okay, the point is, they met their demise.
Can you
by however
had,
means
she had the gonads to say the oil situation, the fuel situation? I'm thinking, wait, you guys caused that. We were floating in oil, and then you guys came in and capped the wells. You shut down the pipelines. You used our oil reserve, you know. And now you're saying that's
there,
the what?
Could we sit there and fix this in 1 year by getting our nose out of the Ukraine, unless we are asked to intervene and, Zelensky, but I mean, there's interest in it. We have to look at our own backyard. So we get out of the Ukraine. And let's say that we go, this Green New Deal, which has bankrupted a lot of companies like Hertz, the guy that said, let's go electric. Yeah, they didn't work.
Yeah.
And now he's out of a job. So let's forget about electric for a while. Go ahead and work on the technology. It's a good idea. We're just not ready for it. And let's go back to producing oil, which we have an abundance of. And the old lie that, oil, when it's gone, it's gone. I remember that lie from the 70s. Turns out that the earth naturally produces oil. Okay, so let's start producing again and be the number one supplier cleanly, and which we were with our technology. Would we all of a sudden be in a better situation? And let's close those borders and let's put America first. If you're an immigrant that wants to come here legally, then you're part of America. You're part of what we were built for.
What Trump says, and I agree with him, during the campaign, when the primary was running with all the different candidates, they would say, we're going to be around for two administrations, and Trump can only be here for one. And Trump says, wait a second. If you can't fix all the problems in 1 year, you don't belong being president. If you can't fix it all, and he says this even now. He says he intends to fix it quickly. Quickly. I like that.
You know what? Look. I like the attitude because it's an attitude that I would have in a situation like that. I don't care who, excuse how I say it, I don't care who I'm going to piss off, and I don't need the 4 years. You can vote me out after that, but I will get the job done right away. That's it, And if I have to run over you on the way, you might want to step out of the way. This steamroller's coming through.
You talked about EVs, electric vehicles. Biden administration is expected this week to finalize highly anticipated regulations targeting gas-powered vehicle tailpipe emissions. That's considered the tip of the spear in its efforts to electrify the transportation sector. Mind you, like Bill said, Hertz has made a big mistake putting so much into electric cars that they got rid of their CEO. Other companies manufacturing companies have cut way back on their production of EVs because the dealerships don't want them. The dealerships are saying, hey, we're not buying your EVs. We're not going to put them in our showrooms. We are still going with gas powered because that sells.
Well, who's set up to do EVs, and EV is not the answer. They don't work. Besides Elon with what he's got going on, but even he would probably tell you, hey, this is the future, but not right now, but I'm making a good deal. If you want that, you got it.
Right.
It's China. China with their cheap stuff, and now they want to go down to Mexico and build their cheap stuff. This is the dismantling of America, and you call yourself a patriot, Joe?
Yeah.
And, and the funny thing is, with all the everything against Joe and Hunter and everything, they're being really coy. Ha ha, you can't find the evidence. Go move it over there. They're playing a shell game here. You know, it's time to end the hoax, and we know you're guilty. There's enough there to prove it. Hunter, you know, there should be no question about it. And any kind of immunity, you know, Bill, that he can get from dad should be taken away.
What I can't figure out, people who are so blind, so biased that they cannot see, it's so blatantly obvious that there's two separate standards and rules in our society. One for liberals like Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and his minions, and another set of rules for Donald Trump. Donald Trump right now is being crushed by everybody on the left. This is not something which is an unplanned happenstance situation. This is real. This is real. They are going after him. It's blatant election interference. You know, blatant. Yet they're trying to make it sound like, oh no, this is just a normal case. And a president, or a former president, or a candidate has never been attacked like the left is attacking Donald Trump right now. It is not right. I mean, I don't give a damn if you hate Trump. I don't give a damn if you'll never vote for Donald Trump. The fact of the matter is, if you are an honest and decent person, and yes, there are some on the left, even though we disagree politically, there are some honest and decent people who are just misinformed. If you are honest, you have to at least look at the situation and say, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. And he shouldn't be crucified. I shouldn't use that term because only one great man was crucified. We know who that was. But he's being politically punished for his views. Okay.
Political crucifixion. Now, that's a fair statement. You know, it's political crucifixion, which, you know, really, you know, we've done it before. You know, this world has got a history of doing things like that. You know, evil powers are always in play, and they play on our feelings, they play on our emotions, and, you know, it's all a distraction to get what they want. While we sit there and try to figure out what's going on, they take it away from you. They take everything.
So, Bill, the judge, you know, the Letitia and the judge want $454 million. Trump says,
okay,
I can't get it. He says Trump offered to post $100 million. Now, understand something, okay? This is just me. I mean, normal, everyday guy. Let's get on to my level. If they said to me, all right, Jim, we have a judgment against you for $1 million, I've done pretty well, but to be liquid, I mean, when I say liquid, for those of you who aren't into finances, that means you actually have the cash available, the dollar bills available. To be liquid, $1 million, you know, you may have property that's worth $1 million. You may have, you know, maybe a couple of houses. You may have nice cars. You may have stocks and bonds and whatever. You may have a wealth that is $1 million, but to liquidate that and give them a bag of cash, you know, that's not easy to do. So we go to Trump. He's a billionaire. But he's really a billionaire. A lot of his billions are on paper. A building here, a golf course there, a casino here, you know? And he doesn't have the satchels of cash, $454 million in cash. Here's the deal.
There's a legal precedent here, and somebody will argue, well, this is different because he's a Republican, we're Democrats.
Yeah.
But the simple fact is, let's say that somebody... robs a bank, okay? And the judge goes, okay, bail is set at $100,000, all right? Now, that doesn't mean he has to put up $100,000 cash.
That's a good point.
You go to a bail bondsman, which is 10%. Yep. That is the insurance. So 10% on $454
million. $45
million. $45,500,000. Yeah. That, okay, I think Trump would take that, and that is what they need to look at. You know, he's out that, and the bail bonds, now, they're going to sit there and go, well, yeah, we got to guarantee that, but that's what it is. That's how the insurance works. But, see, they're demanding the cash, the whole thing.
They want everything. They want the entire ball of wax.
Yeah, what happened to... The scales of justice and how it works.
Bill, it's knocked over. Forget it being out of balance. It's knocked over.
You can appeal. So it's really not over until it's over. Is this a felonious crime here? Is this and number one, it still stands to be debated as to whether this was an actual crime, because this is the actual way that many people do business. As a matter of fact, in investment, in the investment circle, if you're going to go and say, I'm going to build an apartment complex there, and I don't use my money. I go out and I get money, yeah, and secure it, and I build, and I'll make whatever deal you want. And even banks have a different set of rules for those kind of investors than they do, well, you know, Jim or Bill that wants to buy a house. It's a different set of rules, and Letitia knows that. She lied through her teeth, and so did that judge. Oh, by the way, they're Democrats that visited the White House. So yeah, you don't think if – let's turn this around. Let's sit there and say this was a Democrat developer on trial, and we had a radical right judge and a radical right attorney – and going, well, these rules don't apply to you, baby. We're going to take you and run you up the tree. You know, yeah.
You know what somebody said?
Screaming injustice.
Somebody said, and it's true, there are, I think it was Mark Levin last night. He said there are Republican multi-billionaires, people who have access to billions and billions of dollars. Why aren't they stepping up and helping President Trump? You know, backing him with the liquidity that he needs right now. You know,
I'll tell you why.
I heard another guy this morning say, I think we should start a give, send, go fund for President Trump. You know, here's the thing that they're doing.
They'll find a reason to say it's illegal.
But here's what they're doing. That's true. But here's what they're doing. I will, right now, because of how they're going after President Trump, I would vote for the guy if he had one set of clothes and lived in a tent now, because he has been picked on and abused and gone after by these jackals on the left, these hyenas on the left, who as a wild pack, I mean, unjustly crucified this guy. And like I said, if this guy had one set of clothes and he lived in a pup tent in Central Park right now, I would vote for him, because he has put everything on the line.
Yeah, and they want to strip him down to his underwear. I don't want to see it, but if he walked out in a pair of boxers and a t-shirt and go, this is what's left, folks, I'm still running, I'd still vote. You know,
yeah.
Now, Letitia or that judge or Biden walks out in their underwear, I'm going, get out of here, you stinking fool.
You know what
because
the media?
They are.
You know what the media is trying to do, Bill? I heard this too, though. They're trying to say, I heard this yesterday. Well, you know, there are some people out there who say if he's convicted of a crime, well, they'll have to rethink whether they're going to vote for President Trump. Bull. That is trying to get you to doubt your feelings and your convictions. That is the media trying to spin the deal so you think, well, maybe I should think about this. No. Either you stand with them or you don't. Pardon?
Is that kind of like extortion?
Well, you know,
they're threatening. Yeah,
they're trying to minimize the value of your vote. They're trying to get you.
But is that their job to do that, to coerce and threaten?
Hell no.
Because that's what they're doing. That they're not reporting the news, they're not journalists, so they're coercing and threatening the public and scaring them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Well, let me tell you something, friends. That news media and these politicians right now in control, go back the tape up a little bit and listen to the banking thing. That is real. You don't believe me? As somebody once said, Google it. The simple fact is, there is no money. There is an economic crisis. Even back in 2016, Trump saw it then and said it's coming. Now, he was trying to correct things. The Democrats got in the way because they don't see it that way. We are getting into a cashless society as it is right now. You know, they don't want you to have cash. There are some things that you go to where they don't accept cash. You better have a credit card or a government debit card. You got to have something to pay with, but it ain't cash.
You know, they haven't officially said no cash. But like you're saying, they're pushing us towards it so that you hardly ever use it. I mean, I don't know about you, Bill, but I mostly use credit, my credit card. I mean, I will transfer funds. I don't, you know, I don't like having a big balance on my credit card, so I pay them off quickly, as quick as I can. But
I pay them when I get them.
Yeah, me too. And the thing is, I hardly ever reach into my wallet and put money. Like, if I go to the grocery store, I use my credit card. Go to the gas station, I use my credit card. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's convenient. They make it convenient. They want you to use it. You know, and they also track you. I hate to sound paranoid, but...
Oh, well, everything you do electronically is cookied.
They got you. They can follow you around town. The time that you checked into the gas station, the time you checked into the grocery store, the time you went to get a haircut, if you use a credit card, they can follow your life very easily now. That's what they're done, but they haven't said they're doing this. They haven't said we're changing to a cashless society. They're just doing it so that you end up at a point where you hardly ever reach into your wallet for dollar bills, for greenbacks. Hey, I just looked at the clock on the wall. But, you know, by the way, keep an eye on President Trump. This is a bigger story than people think about that $454 million. Apparently, he's appealed it. He's trying to get a different decision. But, you know, appealing it in New York is like going back to the same wolf that bit you the first time, right? I mean, it seems like they're all on the same side of the tracks, and they're all working together to crush this man. So don't put a lot of hope in any appeals out of New York. What they should do, in my opinion, somebody in D.C. who's in either in justice or in the court system, like, they should look at what's happening to a presidential candidate and say, wait a second, you're doing classic election interference, New York. You have to stop these things until the election is finished because you are damaging our electoral system. You understand? That's what they should do, damn it. But somebody should have some balls. I hate to be so crude, but it's true, and make the right decision in D.C. But instead, we have wimps like Scott McAfee and that judge down in Georgia, who, I got to play this cut for you. This is Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones from Georgia talking about the decision by this Scott McAfee. Listen to what he calls the decision. This is a Republican lieutenant governor in Georgia, and he's not very impressed.
Well, I mean, I wasn't surprised by the judge's ruling. He kind of split the baby. He obviously illustrated there was the problems with the whole this whole thing's been a circus. Let's just be honest. The whole thing's been a circus. President has a right to say what he says about this lady, because it's all politically motivated, and it's just herself promoting herself. But obviously, the judge saw there was some improprieties, and that's the reason why he gave her the option either get rid of her boyfriend or get rid of both of y'all, get off the case. And this thing is falling apart. It's unfortunate that it's still got to continue to play out. But we're going to keep pursuing what we're doing over here in the Senate with our committee. We've got a prosecutor oversight committee we just signed into law. Governor just signed into law that is going to have complaints on Fannie, as the president says. I think he's right. I think you spell it F-A-N-I is spelled Fannie, I believe. At any rate, this thing is falling apart, and what she ought to do is just recuse herself or either resign her seat, but she's not going to do that.
That's Georgia Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones. Let me tell you, though, what they're dealing with, okay, down in Georgia and other states.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, Georgia, the governor is a Republican. It's what's his name, Brian Kemp?
Yes, Kemp.
Yeah, he is... He's a Republican, but he didn't help Trump during the 2020 election. He actually stiffed President Trump. All he had to do is say, we want to recount our votes. And with this case here, right here, the one that we're talking about, Fannie or whatever the hell they call her, right? In all honesty, this guy, Kemp, could have said, case dismissed. This is nonsense. This Republican governor has the power to say this is ridiculous, and you're wasting our time, and that's it. Dismissed. I want that thing thrown out. But he's not. He's sitting on the wayside. He's letting President Trump, you know, hang in the wind. Because, you know, this is what Trump is dealing with when he talks about the deep state. when he talks about the deep state, it's on both sides of the track, okay? I mean, it's the rhinos and the Democrats. The rhinos.
So who's pulling the strings? Who's calling the shots? That's what you want to know.
Well, you know, you heard Doug McGregor, who is a smart guy and a real good observer. You heard him say, we're not going to make the 2024 election, in my opinion. We're just not going to, it's not going to happen. We're going to have a financial collapse, which will be part of the plan. It'll, you know, financial collapse, and they will have some kind of an emergency, essentially, and they won't have an election in 2024. We've talked about that and other things. We've talked about a major crisis. We thought about a terrorist attack or something like that.
It might be a financial attack. I mean, you know, we talked about, you know, everything has gone digital. You're going credit cards. That's what they want, because Bitcoin only takes up about 3%. Not too many people have switched over to that. Although, you know, you want to put your money in stocks, it goes digital, and there's a couple of up-and-comers out there. But do you want to trust your fate to the digital currency when you've seen in the past few months the internet has gone down, and your digital currency relies on that? I had a situation. I pay off my credit card bills, and one particular credit card company sat there and said, oh, no, you were late by a day and a half past the due date. I'm going, no, I paid it, you know, a week before that due date, and the card's paid off. Yeah, we see that. But it still showed up this way, and I'm going, oh, the hell. So I checked, and they actually had an online checker, and I sat there and said, well, you know, the dates in question come up on this date. It seems that you had a two-week problem of your service going, yes, we did. I fell right into the middle of that. So me sitting there showing that, you know, the money came out of my bank, went to your bank, but you're not showing this. My point is that the accuracy of the digital world is we're reliant on the internet. The internet is not as reliable as we'd like to say it is. Just like we were talking about EV cars and electricity, right. You know, it is not, our grid is not reliable. As a matter of fact, somebody from the extreme, the squad, I forget her name, but she sat there and
Corey
jumped
Bush.
Out. Yeah, her. She was going, oh, gee, you know, the problem with power grid, it's a white problem.
Yeah.
No, miss, it's everybody's problem. And it's probably a Democrat problem when you think about it, but I don't want to put it on any party. I want to put it on a political problem, because we got the wrong people, for the most part, calling the shots on both sides.
Look at the Biden administration, every one of his cabinet members. Show me one cabinet member in the Biden administration who really belongs in that position. Tell me, seriously, Kamala? You think Kamala's a great vice president? You think Pete Buttigieg is a wonderful a member of his cabinet? I mean, Pete Buttigieg is a waste of space. You know, what's Granholm, you know, with the energy, which he, Secretary of Energy. These people are, they're cheerleaders for Biden, but they're not experts, and they really are dumb. They really are dumb. I mean, for Biden to come out yesterday and talk about they're getting ready to announce new rules for gas-powered cars, this is when major automotive companies are closing down their electronic vehicle, you know, production lines because no one's buying the car. You know, maybe they would take that into consideration, but they're not, because it's not reality that they look at. It's their ideology, you know. It's what they're what they want to get their ideology in place. They want to get their goals in place, you know. Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, right? That's their attitude. Forget the fact that you're killing an industry. Forget the fact that nobody's buying the darn things. You know, I saw an electric vehicle on the road yesterday. And my wife said, does the driver run that by himself, or is it run by? I said, well, there are some sophisticated electric vehicles that have the ability to drive basically by themselves. I wouldn't trust them, because knowing computers, they can work great 9 out of 10 times, but that 10th time it'll drive you off a cliff.
Well, has your computer ever crashed?
Oh, yeah. Shh, I don't want you to jinx my computer, Bill. It's listening.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you got a programming chip in your car. and it can have a glitch. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you swerve off and hit a gas tanker truck because there's still gas vehicles out there. Or you drive into something, a chemical truck. Or you take out a bus that's got a that's full of school kids, an electric bus.
You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, what is it with Elon Musk? I mean, he owns Tesla, but yet he sounds like a conservative. He sounds like a logical.
He's a capitalist, is what he is.
But here's the thing about Elon Musk and Tesla, in my opinion, just my opinion. First of all, his electric vehicles are, in my opinion, they're the standard. Mm-hmm. They're the standard. They are the best electric vehicles out there. If you're going to buy one, and if you can afford one, it's probably that one you should get because they are cutting edge. They were doing it before all the other guys rushed in to make them. But the other thing is this. I also think that he's thinking way down the road, and it wouldn't surprise me if, A, Elon Musk has a car that's run by another power source other than electric. You know, maybe we talked about hydrogen, things like that. Or he may have the most sophisticated hybrid out there, one that runs on gas and electric, which solves the problem of running out of an electric charge in the middle of nowhere, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I just think he hasn't put all of his eggs in one basket, you know? I think he's that kind of a guy.
Yeah, and there probably are other sources, you know? We talk about solar power, but I'm not talking about, you know, or wind power, but I'm not talking about, you know, the solar plants out there or anything like that. I think I read somewhere, you know, there was a glass battery. Glass is made of sand, you know. I'm sitting there going, so there's so many different ways.
But didn't you say, we talked about hydrogen. Didn't you say that?
The hydrogen, yeah. Yeah, they have vehicles. Actually, the hydrogen trucks do pretty good, but they can't do the big semi-loads. But you do see the electric trucks. There's nothing wrong with the motor. You know, now, if your motor goes, that's the component that goes unless it's a regulator in it. But it is the battery having enough juice to keep it going long enough. And, you know, they say, well, we're getting faster chargers. But here's the problem. A battery, it has a memory. So you give it a half charge. At some point in time, that half charge is a full charge in its mind. You know, that's how you do that. You know, you can put a half a tank of gas in your car, and it will still take a full tank when you say, yeah, I got $50 in my pocket. I'll fill this little bug up. You know, so
let me ask you a question, Bill. Why do they push electric? I mean, electric, when it has so many innate problems, when we know that there are other alternate sources of power that would work too. Why don't they push, for example, hydrogen, where I think they said the byproduct is water?
Mm-hmm.
It spits water out.
I had heard that somebody was taking, you know, look, we have radiation is kind of a weird thing. You know, I'm not a big proponent of nuclear.
Right.
You know, everything going on that way. But let's face it, you know, bananas are radioactive. Yeah, you eat them, you know. We take things for granted and go, oh, we look at the bad. We don't understand nuclear energy, but one thing that I do know, we have rods that come out of those nuclear reactors that have like a 15,000-year half-life, and they go through those rods in 6 months a year, and they're out. Well, we go to the salt flats and put them in a salt mine or something like that and store them. We're storing bad stuff, but let's just say for a minute, A, we find a way to better do the nuclear energy, but you take just a piece of that nuclear rod and scrape it down to micro size. I mean, like sand. All of a sudden, you can create an atomic battery that, A, if it does break, it's not enough to do anything, like your banana. But either way, it gives you the energy to continually run that car.
I think it's a heck of an idea, and I think it's something which they should look into.
I'm not a scientist, so.
No. But we did talk in the past on this show about alternate sources of power. And that's a terrific idea.
I'm not making up the idea of a nuclear battery because they are talking. There is a company that's developing, working on that. Now, I think that would be.
When I worked in Connecticut a long time ago, decades ago, okay, I was a young man. And I can remember sitting down with an engineer. I don't know where I was, but the guy said, you know, there's a guy in Weathersfield. I worked in Hartford at the time. And He said there's a guy in Wethersfield, you know, who has invented a carburetor that will get you at least 45 miles to a gallon, probably more. And the automotive companies bought it and shelved it. They paid him a lot of money. They gave him a chunk of money, and then shelved it.
Was it the Brown's gas thing that it did?
I do not know. I don't know the technical specifics, but yeah. I thought, wow, you know. And that was 1973. You know, we have only gotten, think of all the things we have in outer space that are floating around our planet that are being powered by the sun. A lot of equipment, a lot of satellites running on the power of solar power. You know, they have their panels out and they're doing their thing.
Now, see, a lot of people sit there and poo-poo and say, oh, you know, solar energy is the answer because, you know, you think these satellites don't power themselves. Well, there's a little bit of a difference. The rotation of the Earth, you know, day and night, they're out there
in
space.
There's also no interference from clouds and stuff like that.
Right. You know? There's nothing that obstructs that thing 24/7. It gets what it needs.
You know,
where it needs to be.
Do you think, you know, we're getting off the track a little bit here, but that's okay.
Because
I know the guys who run the show.
Do you?
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, have you seen how thin large screen TVs are getting now? I had an old big screen TV, 42 inch, and it had been used for 15 years. It was a great TV set, but we decided at Christmas time, replace it. We got a thin a new TV. The thing is like maybe a quarter of the weight of the old TV. It's bigger. It's 50 inch. And I thought to myself, well, if you can make a TV like that, could they actually make the skin of a car, you know, out of solar panels that were that thin? And you know what I'm saying? I mean,
sure,
I think they could. What if the whole car was essentially one big solar panel? It doesn't have to look like it, but it could be the way that it collects the energy. You know, it's always outside.
There's a lot of laws of physics and everything. You know, you talk about the dynamo. The dynamo is basically an alternator, a wheel that spins and generates electricity. You know, I've often wondered why they can't put a dynamo on a car that, you kind of do have the alternator, but trains have that. There's a battery, but those trains, the power comes from when the wheels turn, the dynamos do. Now, my question is, there's a way to step up voltage. Obviously, they've done that and increased charging times for electric batteries. Why can't you come up with a way to increase the output of that so that you have a battery and a dynamo system in the car? It never ends. Now, I don't know that you can do it. There's a lot of things involved, but we can do things if we want to.
Well, let me ask you another question. Now,
there's no money in it for the big companies.
This goes to the conspiracy theorist side of me, but do you think they've already got it? We just don't have it?
Well, I mumbled there, is the simple fact that, you know, if you're in business, you want to make, unless you can make,
you want to sell
all the money. Yeah, if you make money, you better make a whole lot instantly, or you want to have a renewable income source. So to have renewable energy, that's not cost effective for me if I'm the guy producing it.
You're saying, like, for example, the big oil companies may not be too interested in hearing about a car that gets 100 miles to a gallon.
And neither will the electric company.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they can sit there and say, once I charge this battery, you don't need me anymore.
This goes back to a story I may have related on this show. I think I probably have. But Nikola Tesla, back in, I guess it was like 1895, you know, he had this thing he built called the Tesla Tower on Long Island. It looked like this gigantic mushroom. It was about 75, 80 feet tall. It was broad. And this thing was, the idea was that it would generate electricity. It would, into the ground, believe it or not, and from the atmosphere, I guess, and it would distribute, it would disperse. It was the, I'm not doing it justice by trying to explain it because it was so complicated. But here's the thing. It was backed by J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan was one of the wealthiest men ever, okay? He was just a tycoon when tycoon meant something. He backed Tesla on this project until he asked Tesla, well, when's it going to start showing a profit? How are we going to make money with this thing? And Tesla said, no, you misunderstand, Mr. Morgan. The idea of this project is to create free electricity for the masses. Free.
That's it. I'm out of here.
Yeah. And J.P. Morgan said, whoa, wait a second. There's no profit in that? No. We're doing this as a kind. No.
He pulled the will of the people, the goodwill, yeah.
Yeah, he pulled all of his funds, Morgan did. He crushed it, and the place went out of business. Tesla ended up moving out to Colorado, and he had a smaller version of this. But what Tesla did prove in his lifetime is that he could generate electricity and distribute it freely to people. And he proved it by sticking light bulbs in the ground. You know, like a football field.
Like a ground battery.
A football field. And he literally charged the ground. You didn't feel it. You could stand right around it. Nothing. But the light bulbs came on. He proved you could distribute electricity freely to anybody who had it. For example, we pay an electric bill and we have a company sending the power into our house by wire. His idea was just send it into the neighborhood, send it into the state. Anybody who lives there can get it for free. And
you know, you can charge a phone, do small appliances with a simple wire taking electricity out of the air. The higher up you go, there's actually voltage up there. You know, I think it was done in a movie where I think Baldwin played the guy, a young guy, had to jump off the helicopter. Oh, no, you got to do this.
That was Hunt for Red October. He was jumping onto the submarine. Yeah.
Because what would happen is he would be electrocuted.
Yes.
Because up there in that air, you know, and it's been proven, you can sit there and run a wire up, you know, or an antenna up, and through a series of, a couple of capacitors and, you know, for a simple experiment, and, you know, diode, all of a sudden, you know, if you do it right, you can be pulling 13, 20, 40 volts, 120 volts. Problem is that power is useless because you've got to have a ground system, which you do right there in the ground. Then all of a sudden, you can get the amperage to drive the light, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not as easy as I explained it, but it's all around us.
Here's what I think we will agree with. There's a lot of other options out there that you and I don't even know about that they've got, and they're not putting them in play because there's no profit in it. For them, okay?
Well, you know, I will defend the profiteers, because if there is no profit, there is no drive to sit there and make people excel to create new things. We would probably still be back in the Stone Age, you know, but somebody going, I wonder if I do this.
But, you know, I think we're creative enough, Bill, where we would generate other options, other possibilities. I mean, if we had electricity distributed to us for free, there's got to be companies that create the receptors that bring the power into the house, you know, converters. Otherwise, you know, what good is it? If you have free electricity coming to your house, if you don't have a way of tapping into that free electricity, then it's just free electricity going by your house. You know, it is.
I mean, look, you know, there's a lot of ways you can argue it, but we're in the here and now, and the here and now is screwed up. We don't know that we're going to make it till tomorrow. We're still, you know, seconds away from midnight in America, and it stinks. Oh, by the way, your freedom of speech could be out the door. You heard about Ketanji, you know, basically throwing the First Amendment under the bus, and
we don't
have to go into that, but yeah, you know, she's in defense, of course, of Biden's America. So
This is somebody who's supposed to be a Supreme Court justice, you know, who's supposed to be evaluating things based upon the Constitution, you know, things like the fundamental instruments of our country, you know, the Constitution of the United States of America, and she's kind of ignoring the whole First Amendment thing. It's like freedom of speech. Come on.
Well,
was that for real?
Yeah. And, you know, Judge Cannon, she's in a rock and a hard place, because if she rules in favor of Trump, you know, he's clear and he walks. But if she rules against him,
I hope she has the courage of her convictions. I hope she wakes up in the morning and looks at the robes she has to put on and realize the responsibility that go with that robe. You know, she's not down there to collect a paycheck. I know it's hard. You're down there to do the job fairly. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Well, you know, you got to wonder, because if she rules the other way, the one thing that she's got to keep in mind, mm-hmm. she is she's next on their agenda. Unless, of course, she just completely walks over to the dark side, and then how much is your soul worth? I guess that's the real question there. How much is your soul worth? Do what's right. And then take it one step at a time. But yeah, they're going to come after you. But even if you rule the way they want you to rule and make it make enough noise to say, well, you know what, I'll cave into them, they're still coming after you. Next, Cannon.
I think we should. I think it's appropriate to play this next piece as we get ready to end the program.
If I was the deep state and I wanted to destroy America, I would rig the election with a puppet candidate. One that was so compromised that they would never say a word about it. I would create a false flag that allows for mail-in ballots. I would be in charge of the ballot counting machines. I would create a false flag to blame all who question the results of the election. If I was the deep state, I would prosecute anyone that went against me. I would sue and prosecute anyone that spoke up about the fraudulent election. I would use my powers to shut down all your internet businesses and bankrupt you. If I was the deep state, I would make everyone an example why you should never question a Democrat ever winning an election. I would imprison my foes. I would use my corrupt DAs and blackmailed judges to destroy you. I would make sure all crimes I ever committed never happened. I would prosecute my biggest competition. I would make sure they could never run for office ever again. If I was the deep state, I would convince everyone that Ukraine Nazis were good and women are men. If I was the deep state, I would own every politician that mattered. If I was the deep state, I would push my pedophilia ambitions on you. If I was the deep state, you'd question your sexual identity, but not the medical establishment. If I was the deep state, you would fear to ever resist me. If I was the deep state, you would wish I was really the devil. If I was the deep state, I would say mission accomplished.
Wow. Makes you think about it, doesn't it? Huh?
I mean, yeah. Holy so many things you want to say to that, but that's a whole
other
different show.
Yeah. But it is so, I think he touches the bases with that.
Oof. Well, yeah, that's an old, it's
Paul
an
Harvey.
Old Paul Harvey piece that they just brought up to date. You know, the funny thing about the media is they're attack. And everybody is starting to call the media out. So what do they do, you know, on the election interference and everything? Mm-hmm. Well, what about that Russian election there? Boy, you talk about that propaganda media. No, let's talk about you guys.
Yeah.
You're the propagandists.
Yeah, right.
You're the dirty ones. Russia, yes, they play a role in my life, but not my immediate life. I'm worried about what's going on here in this country, if we're going to have this country tomorrow, if we even have it now. You've done such a lousy job of managing it, or was it deliberate where you're tearing it down? And if so, could you please let us in on what your plan is? Because it doesn't look good from where I stand.
You know, out of all of the things we've played on this program, the thing that bothers me the most, the audio clip from Doug McGregor today, what he says, because he's a guy, he's honest, he's brutally honest about his opinions. But I've never heard him be so dark as far as where he thinks we're going.
Let me ask you this. Let's just say the banks did, like, you know, because we talked about that too. Let's just say the banks close up because there is another bank closing looming. Let's just say they all start collapsing. You know that the Federal Reserve, what it is, in that, you know, my money's insured by the federal government that's in debt.
Yeah.
And that was all that insurance. Now, that goes back to the Depression when they wanted just to sit there and say, oh, you can trust the government. Well, let me ask you, can you trust the government right now? So if that's the case and the banks don't have the money in the Federal Reserve that they're required to do.
The Federal Reserve is not a part of our government.
Exactly.
Oof.
And we're, you know, and our government, it's not really the government. It's not your government. It's a corporation. It's a business. So are we, well, now there's an interesting point. you know, I just said the banks have been the constraints were taken off. They don't have to have assets to at least 10% assets in their holdings, you know, in the Federal Reserve. So they don't have to have that. There's nothing there. The government doesn't have the capability with real cash to, or even the credit to secure everybody's money if everything crashed. So your cars, your real estate, everything resorts to the next bank, to the next bank, to the next bank. And if they're all gone, resorts to the Federal Reserve. Is that not a land grab?
Well, it's a question, I think, for another show, because I just looked at the clock and we're a little over time. But Bill, say a prayer for our country, because we're in dire straits.
Say a prayer for the country. Say a prayer for yourself, because, you know, I may be retired. I'm not old yet, and that means that I'm going to be around and plan to be around for a long time. And I used to have the attitude, well, you know, things may not go the way I want, but life will go on. Life will go on. And if it's life under the mushroom, it goes on. But this is not going to be life under the mushroom. This is, it's beyond biblical. You talk about Armageddon. You know, second coming of Christ hasn't happened yet, but we are building Armageddon.
What Doug McGregor said was it's not just going to be limited to the cities and places like that. It's going to spread. You're going to start feeling it in places that you feel normally safe in, like the suburbs, things like that. Things have got to stop. Well, they've got to be fixed, and it won't be fixed by the guy who is in the White House right now. And it's that simple.
Well, let's just paint the picture real quick, because we got to get out of here. If that happens, do you think the power grid shuts down? So you have no electricity?
It could.
Think you're going to be able to charge your car, your electric car?
The internet will go down. The internet will go down.
Yep. So we'll have no communication. Radio goes down. The internet's going down. Electricity's going down.
Right.
You won't be able to fuel your car. So whatever gas you got in it, you better be able to get to where you want to go and be. Otherwise, because wherever it is, you're going to be there for a long time. And if we have that happening, you know, you already see people breaking out, riots breaking out, kids. They're shutting down malls like out in California because kids are rebelling and they're fighting amongst themselves. We're like rats in a cage, too many rats in this cage, and we're eating each other up here. We're just fighting. Going to get worse.
Well, boy, do we have a lot to talk about. As a matter of fact, we could continue doing this, and we will tomorrow. We'll be back right here
tomorrow.
If you want to contact us for any reason, our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, jimandbill@mail.com. And,
I think
we
that's...
could break out in song and dance.
No,
if you
but
wanted to. No.
You could end it another way.
Oh, I know which way you're talking about. Hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.